Had a great Sunday school hour. I was talking with the teenagers about God has called us to a higher standard. And when he talked to the people of Egypt, Israel, he says, you know, I've called you unto myself. God's name is the highest. There is none higher. And when God calls someone unto himself, he calls them to the highest person there is who will live eternally. And he says, I've called you unto myself. And he said, above all nations. And he gave them three behaviors that they weren't supposed to do. Cut themselves, shave their hair in some weird, odd way, which has been going around since the beginning of time, and just eating whatever. And even though we're not under dietary laws this day, I says, kids, God has called you away from common behavior. Common behavior is just what everybody else is doing. They don't raise any eyebrows about it. They just everybody's doing the same thing. God says, when I call you unto myself, I've called you above regular, common, everyday, bland, run-of-the-mill, middle-of-the-road living. And I told the kids, there are levels of standards in everything, from the kind of cereal you buy, the packaging, the kind of toothpaste you buy, the kind of medicine you can buy. The military, jobs, everything has different. Sports has a tier system of different standards, from professional all the way down to peewee. And you got to meet different levels of living to get in. And God says, I've called you away from common behavior because I am not common. He is holy. And when he calls us unto himself, here's what I challenge the kids to do, and here's what I challenge you to do. Just define what is a higher standard. Just take that principle and define what a higher standard is. God has called his people to a different level of living. And so I challenge them with that. And boy, it's very quiet in here now. It's not going to be that way in a few minutes. But we thank God. I thank God for his word. Thank God for Sunday school, all those that are teaching and participating. It's good. It's good stuff. Kevin's going to come and give us some announcements. And so, Kevin, would you come? If you have your bulletin, you can look at a few of these things with him.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, and good morning, everyone. We are thrilled to have you here today, and we ask that if you are smelling the smell of icy hot today, please forgive us. We had the church work day yesterday, and there are many here today that are moving a little bit slower, and standing a little bit slower and getting difficulty getting up. But what a great day we had yesterday. Thank you for everyone that came out to help. It was a joy. We heard a great message on Wednesday night on making sure that we're rejoicing in everything. And we did some rejoicing yesterday, and we had fun, and it was an exciting time. There was so much work done. Actually, the rules weren't followed, and the workday started a little early. There were some that started on Friday night and came out and got some stuff rolling, and it was a day full of everything. There was something for everybody to do. I think, Pastor, you do a great job of making sure that everybody has something to do that they can do. And it's just a blessing. Pastor, I think, gets involved in each and every little project that goes around, and it is so special to see. He's over here doing a little something, and then he's over there, and then he's on the roof, and then he's just all over, and then he's eating pizza. And it was just a joy. But we had some fun. I think we had the opportunity to open up a lawn care business. Brother Aaron, I can't thank him enough out there. And, boy, it was fun, wasn't it, brother? We had a good time and clearing out some things. Brother Bill brought two of his sisters up, and he bought them two chains for their truck so that they can get out there and help pull stumps. And, boy, we just had a great time. Brother Dorman, Brother Tom, having a great time working and serving the Lord, and it was all for the glory of God, amen, and I can't thank everyone enough, And I'm sure Pastor echoes that same sentiment. It was just a great blessing. So we are glad to be here, even though sore. We're glad that we can come and enjoy the fruits of our labor and that it all goes to God. And so thank you. There was a great opportunity to serve. And this week we continue to have opportunities to serve, and you'll see in our bulletin here, we are just excited to have this week here upon us. We'll be praying Tuesday for the 10 a.m. prayer meeting. Pray for our Wednesday evening service at 7. Please make sure you're here for that and be a part of the service there. Thursday morning prayer at 6 a.m. It's always a great, sweet time of fellowship. Come out and join us if you can there. And then Friday, it is time for the ladies' spring banquet. So much goes into this, and hopefully prayer has been going into it already from each and every one of us, that our hearts are prepared, that visitors' hearts are prepared for this. I look forward to this event, and it is exciting. You can see the preparations that are already taking place. The theme is a sweet Savior, amen. And we've got Mrs. Aberger from Lakeview, all the way from Lakeview, coming down, and she's going to be a part of the event. And so we pray that you would continue to pray for that, invite people out. There are still tickets available, and if you have not gotten your ticket, please make sure you get those today. Invite someone out. Encourage them to come. It is just a special event. When they see, they walk into, a visitor comes in, and they see a church that is willing to serve, a bunch of guys that are just willing to serve the ladies and open up and to do that, it's something special. It really is. And so we want everyone to be a part of it. And again, we have a sign-up sheet here for men and teen boys who would like to help. I'm going to place that on the back there. But we want everyone to be a part of this. So please, hopefully your calendar's been cleared and we can get there. I will have the sign-up sheet out on the back table. Make sure you sign up for that today. We need to know who we have and who we can count on, where we can place you, and those things. So please make yourself a part of this event. It'll be a great, great time. If you don't have a ticket yet, please see Miss Vonda or Monica and be able to get a ticket there. And then you'll see the May Brothers birthday here this week. We have Brother Aaron, who's having a birthday, and make sure you wish him a very happy birthday. And then Brother Jake is having a birthday on Tuesday. Make sure you wish him a happy birthday. And then Justin Carter is having a birthday. Is this the first birthday that you guys have had since you're here for the kids? Drew, you haven't had yours yet, right? Okay, so we're excited. It's the first Carter birthday. Wish him a happy birthday. Excited about that. We're glad they are here. And then be praying for the young people for Vacation Bible School workers. Be just praying for that to come together and that hearts would be softened there. And then the young people heading down to Crown College for the Youth Congress. I love that term, and just think that's a wonderful thing. If we had some young people that purposed in their hearts to make a decision and make their decisions for righteousness, it would be a blessing. And we would see a nation changed. I really believe that. It may not be a political Congress, but if we had young people making the right decisions, we would see a nation changed. And so be praying for them that they would just get a hold of some things and God would work in their hearts. It would be a great blessing. And then our Bible reading schedule as we continue on through the book of Joshua. Just make sure you're a part of that. Great blessing there. We heard a great lesson here this morning. If you weren't here for Sunday school, Brother Walter, I want to thank you, Walter. That was just great. Stirred my heart. And you'll see a pen probably in front of you if it hasn't been taken. Brother Walter says these pens are to be a remembrance for us, that we write these things down. We write the things down that God tells us. You write them down because that's what God's word says, is to write those down. And he did a great lesson this morning. I thank you, Walter, for that. It was an encouragement to my heart. And then please pray for our missionaries here this week, the Stover family, and they are missionaries to Peru. Just be in prayer for them. Send them a note out. And then finally, one last announcement. Brother Hayes, we've been praying for this and asked for help on this before. This is just a near and dear to my heart ministry that they are doing here, and just thrills my heart. We asked for people to help before with coloring of the pictures. And what Brother Hayes does, this is just a wonderful thing. He gets up early in the morning, goes stands at the gate of certain bases, military installations that he's able to do, and he greets them as they're coming into the base there, and hands them a packet, thanks them for their service of protecting the United States of America, and for helping protect and stand by Israel, and he thanks them for their service, and you know, I wonder if you would have thanked me when I was in the military, thank you for protecting Israel, if I would have understood that. And so I think that's just a great thing. We've asked the kids to help color. So if your kids are coloring, that is going out to a military member. I think that is wonderful. This is a neat packet that he hands to each and every one that he has the opportunity to talk to. He thanks them for their service. He tells them that they're praying for them, and the church just wants to thank them. There's a John and Romans in there. There's some tracts in there. There is I have not had a chance to read everything in here. There's these soldiers' stories in there that refer back to God's word, and just some heart-touching things. Psalm 37 is in here, and then he gives a note of just encouragement and encouraging them to trust Jesus and accept Jesus. What we are in need of right now is they're asking us, they need some thank you cards. And it's very simple. A lot of people have a tough time talking to strangers are talking to people. This is very easy. You don't. All you have to do is just a little blank piece in here, not very much. Just a quick thank you to these people. There is a sample in here of some things. Even if you don't have things to say, I will hang this sample back up on the information board back there, so you can read that. Just a quick thank you note, thanking them for what they do, their service, and what they are a part of, and that we're praying for them, we love them, and just a great encouragement. So that'll be available to you, and we can leave one of these back there also, so you can kind of leave through there and see what they are getting in their hands. It's the Word of God that's going into their hands, and praise the Lord for that, there's not too many people that I don't think, and it just says, with much appreciation for your devoted service to the United States of America. And just a wonderful thing. Not too many soldiers are going to say no thank you to that. They're going to take that and look through that, and God's word is in there. And so we need to pray for that. And if you can help out by writing a thank you note, we would greatly appreciate that. And I believe that is all the announcements I have here today. I'll turn it back over to Pastor and continue on.
Thank you, Brother Kevin. Find your hymn books, please. Turn to 212. I love this song. The more we sing it, the more I love it. I will praise him. 212. Bill's going to come and lead us in this and one more hymn. When we get down to the chorus, let's punctuate it and just cut the instruments off there for a second. I love this song. I will praise him. So find your place. 212. Let's stand. Bill, come lead us in this great hymn.
Cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin, I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when he said, "Wilt thou be clean?" I will praise him. I will praise him. I will praise him.
174. Faith is the victory. 174.
Into your heart, and you believed upon Jesus Christ, and you're saved. Christ is the victory. Amen. Gentlemen, if you'd come, let's receive the offering this morning, and we'll pray and have the offertory. It's a privilege to give, isn't it? Back to the Lord, a portion of what He's given to us. We do not parcel out the tithe and say, you know, it's mine, I'm giving it back. It's already God's, it's already got His name on it. It's like if I find your wallet, I'm not gracious to give it back to you. I'm honest to give it back to you. And that's where the tithe is. And thank you for your faithful giving. Brother Dick, would you come? And let's ask God's blessing upon this offering and upon this service today.
Will you pray with me, please? Dear Lord and God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the springtime. We see the flowers starting to peek through the sand and the soil, and we see the buds on the trees. A little more warmer weather, the buds will open up into leaves and provide us shade and provide us a nice summer. We're thankful, Lord, for all the people that are here today. We think of some that can't be here. We pray for Mrs. Beach, Lord, as she continues to struggle with her problems, Lord. We pray for Pastor Beach as he's the sole caretaker. You continue to strengthen and encourage him, Lord, and also encourage her, Lord. Be with the doctors as they decide which treatments are the best for her. And we do think of Mrs. Bolhouse and her shoulder and her infections, Lord. We just pray that you'll be with her, Lord, and help to get that cleared up. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll be with the remainder of the service. Be with Pastor as he brings us this message this morning. Now we ask all these things in thy name. Amen. You may be seated.
Those who trust him wholly, find him wholly true. Don't you love good music that just takes your heart to heaven? It's wonderful. Girls, I want you to come, be ready to sing before the message tonight, this morning rather. Junior church, just stay with us just for a couple of minutes. We'll let you go after the girls sing. Deuteronomy chapter 30, if you find God's word there. We're going to go back just a touch here. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we'll look at a few things there. So have your Bibles opened, and have your heart prepared. And before that, the girls are going to sing, "Merciful to Me."
But I can almost almost hear her say, "Merciful to me when I deserve to die. Merciful to me, my soul He brought new life. Nothing could I bring, my debt to satisfy. Jesus was merciful, merciful to me. Satan's men were closing in. I knew what was in store. A decent payment for my sin, eternal fire and more. But Jesus said, "I have an announcement I'd like to make today. You see, I have the scars to prove that I've taken this one's place. Merciful to me when I deserve to die. Merciful to me, my soul He brought new life. Nothing could I bring, my debt to satisfy. Jesus was merciful, merciful to me. Nothing could I bring, my debt to satisfy. Jesus was merciful, merciful to me.
Junior Church, you can be dismissed at this time. Kids, take your Bibles with you and your good behavior. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'd like to take you straight to verse 14. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 14. Moses said concerning God's word that had fallen upon their ears and into their life. He said as he closes out his life, "But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." The word is very nigh, very close to you, he told the people. And it's so close, you could actually live it. You don't have any questions? God has made it so clear. So I want to talk this morning for a couple of minutes. It's so close, you could live it. It's so close, you could live God's word. Let's pray. Father, take these few moments. Please funnel our hearts and our minds and our thoughts unto thy word. May you give us something very usable this day. In Christ's name, amen. Now let's go back to verse 11. And he says, "This commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, 'Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, 'Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very nigh thee." Look at verse 11. It's the commanded word. It's the commanded word. When God gave his word, it was the commanded word. "For this commandment which I command thee this day. Now, what commandment was he talking about in general? God gave many of them. But down in verse 16, here is the general commandment at that time. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and that the Lord thy God bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. That commandment. And Moses says the commanded word that comes from God needs to be the commanded word that is given by Moses or the preacher or the prophet. And so the commanded word. God gives his commands. And in this one, I want you to notice that God wants your heart before he wants your obedience. God wants your love and my love before he wants anything else. And the first part of all of these commandments, notice carefully, is to love the Lord thy God. God doesn't care if you do anything for him if you don't love him. How about a little affirmation there, folks? We got done talking about that the other night. God doesn't want your behavior. He wants your heart. He wants to love. He wants us to love him first. And so it is the commanded word. Now may I say this? The commands of God that God gives need to be commanded by Moses and by the preachers and by the prophets, meaning when God gives a command, his men shouldn't come up and make the commandments of God into suggestions. The commandments of God are not options. The commandments of God are not suggestions, and they are commands. What is a command? A command is an order. And God gives us commands, and he gives us order. So commandments need to be commanded first by God, then by Moses, by the prophets, by the apostles, by the preachers, by the pastors. And so the commanded word. This is the given word, and it is also the commanded word. God's commands are to be taken as God's directives. Is this a book of suggestions to us? Or these are the orders, amen? These are not just suggestions. This is not a buffet. These are the words of God. And so God says, my word has been commanded, and my men need to lay it out and give it. Now, I think Christians today are afraid of that word commandments at large. I think they flushed the word commandment with the Old Testament. Christ came, it's all about grace. Are the commandments done? Is God done commanding his people? Well, the answer is absolutely no. And so let's just do a little refresher course on God's commands. Go to Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. I read over these verses as you did in the last week or so. And there's an interesting contrast between who God is and who we are in verses 4 and 5. And look at verse, let me just read, beginning in chapter 1 and verse 32. This is the song of Moses. He's the end of his life. He writes this song. He says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Here is how good the doctrine of God is. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. Is rain good for the soil, for the garden, for the crops? Oh yeah. And just like the rain is good for your tomatoes and your corn, so they can make us more Rice Krispie treats. And my wife makes the Rice Krispie treats. And can I just say that we experimented this week and we threw in a whole bunch of peanut butter, and I'm never going back. I've come out of the world. I am never going back. I see you shaking your head, sister. I'm sure you got some secrets up your sleeve too. And all, it is good. And God says, my doctrine is just like rain. It is good for your soul. It is good for your heart. And my speech shall distill as the dew, the small rain, the showers upon the grass. And God says, my word is so good for you. It is good for your heart. It is good for your life. And verse 4 reminds us who God is. Would you read verse 4 out loud with me? This is a healthy reminder to the holiness of God. Verse 4, together, begin. He is the rock. His work is perfect. for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Is that a good verse about our holy God or what? Let's read that again. Lift it up a little bit. Here we go. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now, that is, God, these people knew God. They heard his voice. They saw his thunder. I mean, they knew him, but they needed a reminder that their God was holy and everything that he did was just and right and pure. He, look at it. It is amazing a review. He, his ways, his works, everything that God is and does and allows is perfect. Judgment, truthful, just, and right. And in the middle of it, it says, and by the way, there is no iniquity in him or in his ways or in his works. And I'm here to tell you the people of God from time to time need a reminder of how holy our God is. This is all in light of his commandments, by the way. None of his commandments are bad. None of his commandments are impure. None of his commandments are wrong. None of them are corrupt. None of them are perverse. It is easy for the people of God to get a bad attitude about their holy God. Unfortunately, amen. The problem lies in verse 5 and 6 with us or the people of God. After it says he is perfect, judgment, truthful, just, and right, it says they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse. They are crooked. They are foolish. Verse 6, they are unwise. It is a dangerous thing for the people of God to think in their minds, God didn't do something just right. Or when he gave us that commandment, somehow it wasn't just and perfect and pure and right. And it's just a wonderful, healthy reminder that we have a holy God. And when he says, I want you to keep my commandments and love me, oh, it is all right. It is all just. There is no iniquity in it. There are no bones you got to spit out of God's word. God didn't give any bad commands in the Old Testament. God didn't give anything that wasn't right in the Old Testament. We're in the Old Testament. He says, start by loving me, walking with me, keeping all of my commands. The word is so near. I've explained it all God says. But he is the source of all holiness, and the commandments are good. Fast forward to the New Testament. Had the commandments of God, is God done commanding the church? Is God done commanding your life? If you've got Christ in your heart, is God done commanding you? And the answer is no. Listen to this verse. By the way, in John 12 and verse 50, Jesus calls his Father's word his commandments. And I know, Jesus said, his commandments his commandment is life everlasting. Jesus said his Father's words were commands. God doesn't give subtle suggestions. His word is so right and it's so pure, he can authoritatively say, believe this, follow this, and it'll be well with thee. And so his Father's words were commandments. Do you know, can you remember the verse, can you find the verse where God has commanded that everybody be saved? Does that ring any New Testament bells? There is a verse in the New Testament that God says he has commanded everyone to be saved. Does that ring any slight bells going off? God has commanded that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl repent, believe the truth, and believe in the resurrected Christ. How many of you have a little remember? How many think, really? God has commanded that? Yes. Find your Bible or listen carefully to Acts 17:30. Why don't you go there? This would be a good thing to share with people someday. I mean, talk to somebody and say, hey, you know, God has commanded you to be saved. God has commanded you to believe upon his Son. Acts 17. God's not done with commandments. Acts 17 and verse 30. Paul's preaching on Mars Hill, and he talks about the past, and at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, that's Christ, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Do you know how God can command everyone everywhere to repent? Because he has made the way. He sent his son died, and he gave assurance to the world that when he raised his son from the dead, there is your answer. There is your salvation. And God has commanded everyone everywhere to repent. Everywhere. So is God done with the commandments? No. God who is holy, he's just, he's right, he's pure. No iniquity. Only God can say, you can trust my word. You don't have to question my word. It is so right. Every command is good. So the commanded word. This is the commanded word back in Deuteronomy. The commanded word. The commanded word. God's word still needs to be preached as it is commanded. He's got the commanded word. Now, verse 11 through 14, really kind of touched my heart this time as we talked about this. And we move from the commanded word to the close word. The close word. The commanded word of God. And then God says, this word is very nigh to you. It has entered into your ears. You have heard it. It has entered down into your heart. And you could repeat what the commands and what the words of God are, and it's the close word. It's not hidden. It's not far off of verse 11. It's not in heaven where you got to go looking for it. It's not beyond the sea, verse 13, where you got to save up a lifetime of money and pool all the town's money, and you got to hire a ship captain and send him out on a voyage like Columbus looking for land, and would you just go see if you can find God's word? He says, no, God's word is very, very nigh unto thee. The commanded word, the close word. God's word came to them. They heard his word, and the word of God was very near to them, in their ears, down inside their heart. And he says, it is even in thy mouth. Now, when something is in your ears, that's awfully close to your heart. And when something is in your heart, that's very close to your mouth. And God says, oh, don't get over the fact that it's not just the commanded word. The word of God has come very close to your life. Do you know how blessed we are? The close word. The close word. It's closer than Speedway. It's closer than Grand Haven State Park. It's closer than Michigan Adventure. It's closer than your car. It's in your ears. It's in your heart. And God says, it is the commanded word. It needs to be followed. But it is the close word. And you don't have to go looking for it. Amen. Four times, he says. It's, look at verse 11. It's not hidden. It is not hidden. Do you know there are parts of the world where God's word cannot be found? It is not hidden. 2 Corinthians 4 says there are some places where the word of God is everywhere, but Satan has just blinded the minds of them that believe not, and they might live next door to a church, but they're blinded to the truth. The word of God is everywhere in our country. It's all over TV. It's everywhere in our country. Anybody that wants to know the word of God can know the word of God. You say, Pastor, what about India? What about China? I was reading some facts about China and India. There are just tons and tons of Indian villages and Chinese villages and towns. Well, there's not one Christian in the whole group. There's not a believer among the 1,500 people, the 15,000. You say, Pastor, if somebody wants to know God's word, can they know God's word? And I believe, yes, how? They look into the heavens, they see by creation, they know by conscience, there is more. It's not enough to save them, but it is enough to condemn them. But if they want to know more, God will, I believe with all of my heart, send word to that person. There was a guy in China about 15, 20 years ago. His name was, he took on the name Forrest when he came here. And he was in China, and he wondered if there was a God. He wondered if there was truth. God sends him to Knoxville, Tennessee, to attend the University of Tennessee to get an education.
Pastor Saxton sends people to the campus to witness on that day and to hand out tracts. And my friend Scott Pauley meets this new guy named Forrest, just come to the United States of America to study. He speaks with him about God, and he says, I've been wondering if there is a true God. Scott talked to him about God, then he talked to him about his only dear son who went to the cross and bled and died and resurrected. And on that day, the very first time he heard the gospel, he received Christ, and he's been in that church for about 15, 20 years. I'm here to tell you, if people want to know the truth, God's going to help them. Didn't we just read this week about Rahab? The scarlet thread? The red thread that we were reading in the morning on Thursday, and one of the guys said, that red thread, well, wouldn't somebody have seen that red rope? Because they said, put the red rope back in the window. Well, that's just like the gospel. The gospel is in a lot of places, but people just don't notice it because they don't want to notice it. Rahab says, we've heard about you. All of us have heard about you. We've all heard about you. We are all scared to death about what you're going to do. And she says, remember me and my family. We've heard about your God. Your God dried up the sea. That doesn't happen all the time. Your God, and so I'm here to say that we read about Rahab. If a person wants to know the truth, I think God's going to give them that truth. But you know, there are some villages and there are some countries, there are some nations, and there's not a preacher next door with the Word of God. And the Word of God is very far from them. But the Word of God is not far from you. And the Word of God doesn't have to be hunted down. It's not in heaven. It's not far off. It's not beyond the sea. Nicodemus said to Jesus one day, we perceive that thou art a teacher come from God. And we believe you've descended straight out of heaven with the truth. And we didn't go to heaven to get the truth. God came down from heaven to give us the truth. And all is the truth very, very close to us. The close word. All the close word. It is very nighty. It is so close. You can actually understand it and live it out in its entirety. That's the whole point. God says, I've been so clear with my people that I have resolved all of the important issues. Oh, there's going to be questions you have like, where was Moses buried? Is that important to live in the Christian life? It's interesting. Is it vital? No. Where did they cross the Red Sea? Is that interesting? Yes. Is it vital? No. God has resolved and given to us all of the word that we need to know. He says, I put it in your ear. It is down in your heart. And you can actually tell me what my own word is because the word has become very close in your life. So close, you can actually live the word of God. I mean, it's so close, there's no guessing games anymore. It's so close, it's in your mouth. And you could tell us how to live the Christian life. Most of you in here could tell anybody how to live the Christian life. You can tell them how to live the entire Christian life. Isn't that indeed a blessing? The commanded word. And number two, the close word. It's close. It's very, very close. And then he says, number three, the contrasting word. Look at verse 15. The contrasting word. Back in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. He says, here's a summation of God's word and all his commands. He says, I have set before thee life and good. And I took with my green pen and put a box around life and good. I've set before you life and good. That's a summation of all of God's commands. And he says, I have also set before thee death and life. And I put a big red box around death and life. And he says, death and life is when you don't listen to God's word. It'll be certain death. It'll be certain evil. And so it's like, those are contrasting terms, aren't they? Death and life, is that a contrast? Good and evil? I mean, God says, it is a contrasting word that I have given to thee, life and good versus death and evil. Life and good go together in God's word. They always are linked together. And in God's word also, death and evil go together. They are never separated. If a person goes against God's law and they commit sin or evil, that evil does not exist on its own. It is always trailed by and followed up by death. Evil and death, sin and death are always related together, but so are life and good. Life and good. God says, you know what? You've got my words, and then you've got everybody else's words. My words are life and good. Everybody else's words are death and evil. That's a contrast. The contrasting word, life and good. I like that when they go together, life and good. Life and good. Life and it reminded me of what people often say, life is good. Life is good. I'm living the good life. They got the little sticker on the back of their VW Beetle. Life is good. They got their t-shirts. Life is good. They got their coffee mugs. Life is good. You can get in this anytime you want. You know, they got their backpacks. Life is good. And what is so good about life? What does the world mean that life is good? You ever hear people say, it doesn't get any better? And they're talking about popcorn, Cracker Jacks at the baseball game. I'm living. This is it. This is what life's all about. I got my Cracker Jacks that cost $8.50. I got my pop that cost $12. I got my hot dog that's worth $6. I fed four of us for $82. I'm living. Had to pay for the hotel. It was $185, normally $35, but there was a ball game. I am living. Oh, here's life. Here's what life's all about. I got my campfire and my weenie, and I got my RV. Life is good. I got smoke blowing in my eyes and the dust from the kids riding the bike. Life is good. And some of these things are good. What are people saying that life is good? I mean, what do people say? What does the world say? Life is good. You know, life is good. Got my hot dog and my beer at the racetrack. That's what the world says. That's what life is all about. That's what life is all about. What do you say living is? What do you say living is? You hear what the commercials say. You hear what the sales papers say. You hear what the world is saying. This is living. If I could just go to Vegas once a year, every year. If I could just save up $800, go to Vegas every year. Oh, would my ship have come in? No, your cash went out. Oh, if I could just fish once a week in my little boat, and then you go fishing every week, and then you see this guy's got a bass boat. If I could just get a bass boat, with the sparkles, the swivel seat, if I could just get a bass boat like Kevin Van Damme, oh, if I could just get a truck that matched my boat and I'm backing down into the water and I'm matching on that day, life is good. But then if I can get a brand new truck and a brand new boat and if I could, that life would be good and life is good and God has given us all these things to enjoy, but there's more. Hot dogs, pork and beans, camping, campfires, and boats, and motorcycles, and blah, blah, blah. The world says, you know, if I could just retire early. If I could just retire early and have enough to live on. If I could just retire early and have a whole bunch to live on, life is good. If I could have a house in Florida. If I could have a house in Oregon. I'm talking about my uncle now. I've always been jealous of my uncle there. If I could just have season tickets. Do you understand what the world says life is all about? The world says that life is about everything that's not in this book. What does God say that life is all about? What is living to you? What is living to God? God says if you cut it short, go right down to verse 20. And where it says, He is thy life. You know what living is? Knowing God personally. Look, I am all for cutting down a twig and sharpening the end of it and giving it to my little kids. And I remember they used to roast the weenies and you give them a little skinny stick and it's like, and you barely get the dog on there and Bethany's holding the fire and she's like two and they can't hold a hot dog. And then the end of it gets like all brown, like a black, bloated, you know, bubble. The rest of the dog is cold. And I've enjoyed everything that there is to enjoy as well. It's wonderful. But there's something better than a cookout on the back of my 2.5 acres. Knowing God. He is my life. And I like to go camping, and I like to go biking, and I like to go boating, and I like to do all that stuff too. But that is not my life. And that is not life. He is thy life. To know thee, the only true God. To know God is life. That's living. That is, if you know God, If you know Jesus, you are living. And he came to bring you the abundant life too. He's not talking about a third car, even though I wish he was. He is thy life. Amen, or oh me, as Pastor Eburn used to say. He is thy life. And what is living to God? That the Word of God came close to you one day. And you heard His Word and it came down into your ears and down into your heart. And you could repeat the Word of God and you learned what the gospel was. And now you're saved. And now maybe most of your family is saved. And you're a part of the church of the living God. And God is pouring out His blessings upon thy life. I know a lot of guys that have had a bass boat, but they don't have God's blessing. And there's nothing like the blessing of God. And he says, if you obey me, you're going to multiply. And your sons and your daughters are going to grow up. They're going to love God too. And you're going to remain in the land. Oh, you know what living is? All this stuff. When you love the Lord with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul, that is a living feeling. No giant ice cream cone will do for you at Fruit Park, even though I'll go. When you love God with all of your heart, you are living, amen? When you obey Him and then you cleave to Him, verse 20, and you dwell with Him and you remain in His will, that's living. And so the contrasting word, life and good. I was asking somebody the other day if LG, you know, LG is taking over. LG is about to take over the planet. Does LG mean life is good? Is that on their thing? Life is good. I looked up life is good. I couldn't believe how many backpacks you could buy. You know, buy a T-shirt for mom. Get a coat for the dog. I mean, life is good everywhere. But you know what? This whole thing about life being good. Isn't it good to know the God of heaven, people? My friends, I said, isn't it good to know the God of heaven? It's wonderful. His word came into our hearts. And it's not far away, but it's really close. Life and good, the contrasting word. And then you have basically let's close with the chosen word. The chosen word. Verse 19. Moses, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. Two choices, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Would you put a green box around choose life or underline choose life? Life and good, life and death, and then choosing life. Choose life. The chosen word. We understand and know that the word can be very close, but if it's not chosen, it's no good. The Word of God comes very close to people every week in churches all across America and all around the world, and they hear the wonderful words of life, and they hear the wonderful promises of God, and the Word is so close they could tell you what they heard. But many of them don't choose that life. You see, the word has to be chosen. God's commandments are connected to a promise, but the promise is connected to a choice. And Moses says, choose life. And as he's telling this, he's ready to depart. He knows Joshua's the next leader. And he says, you know, I'm going to force the choice for you. He says, would you please just choose life? And he was passionate about it. He says, you know, don't. He didn't say do whatever you want. After he gave them and he laid it all out, he says, the Word of God is so close. Choose life, choose life, choose life. Because he believed it with all of his heart. And I'm sure that you have been in the store with somebody and you said, pick that one. You're going to order something at McDonald's. Get number 3. Get a large. Get the cherry cheesecake. Get the Angry Whopper. Oh, it's good. Choose that one. Get this cell phone. Get that. You know why? Because they believe in it. And if we have chosen life, shouldn't we be telling everybody that we know, choose life. Choose life. choose. The word is so close. The word is so close to everybody in this room that you could live the Christian life without any questions. It's so close you can live it. The contrasting word, oh, it produces the good. It produces something different than evil and death. And you know what? The chosen word. Choose it for yourself. Get out there and talk it up, because I told the teens today, most people in our neighborhoods anymore don't know Jesus. They don't know how to get to heaven. They honestly do. Ask and find out. Ask somebody. I met a kid this week from Africa, and we were talking about a certain thing, and he says, yeah, us Africans are intolerant to milk. We've never grown up with milk. And he says, I wish I could enjoy milk like you Americans do, but we can't drink milk. And I asked him what country he was from, and he told me, I says, what is the Christian influence in your mother nation? He says, Seventh-day Adventist or number one. I says, do you have any Baptist people over there? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. He says, yeah, there's the second largest group is Baptist. And then it's Catholic. And I'm walking next to the refrigerator that we got for the church. He's riding the forklift. I'm holding the thing because I thought he's a little unsteady. And walking out to the car, I'm walking. He's driving the forklift. He says, tell me about the Baptist faith. And I had 30 minutes to summarize everything that God's word is. We unloaded the refrigerator, and I says, there's only one choice in life. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the only offering for our sin. God resurrected him the third day. We must place our faith and our trust in him. He came here to get an education, was exposed to some kind of Christianity. He knows more. He, coming from Africa, knows more than most people that go to Fruitport schools. You understand that? Do you understand the kids that go to your school down in Grand Haven? Do you understand that the kids that go to your school in Fruitport, do you understand that they get their ideas about heaven from movies and they don't know? And when I go pump gas at Speedway, the guy right next door to me doesn't know how to get to heaven. He's got his time. He knows the grid coordinates when he goes hunting. He knows how far it is from here to Hilton Head. He knows everything under the sun about drive, but he doesn't know how to get to heaven. The word of God has come so close to us, we can repeat it verbatim. Many scriptures memorized. It's so close, you can live every bit of it out. What part of God's word do I know that I'm not living out? Choose that life today. Choose that life today. And then tell others to choose life. Don't hold back. If you really believe it, you're going to tell people, live for God. Get in church. Read the word of God. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for thy word. Lord, the commanded word. Lord, how do we need to know your commands and to know what you want? And Lord, how do we need to have it declared in an uncompromising way? Help us to do that. Lord, the close word, we just want to thank you right now. How near the word of God has come to our life. Lord, I've got family members who had the same upbringing as I did. And it seems like the word of God ought to be very near, but they're very far from you. God, would you help us to speak to others that they would choose life? Thank you that life is good and that we can know not just a prosperous country. It's not about running water and electricity and air conditioning and paved roads. Lord, that's not the best things about life. God, we're so glad that we know you. We're so glad that we know your commands. We're so glad that we can raise our children in the fear and the admonition of God. We're so glad we can be a part of the church of the living God. Lord, help us. Help us to reject what the world says is good, and help us to embrace and live and share and declare what you say living really is all about. Thank you for thy word this day. In Christ's name, amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you stand to your feet, please? Amy, would you begin to play 157, Jesus Paid It All. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. As she plays a few of these verses, if you want to pray about something in your life that God has spoken to you about, how many of you say, Pastor, I hear all the time that life is good if, And it has had an effect upon me. And sometimes I think life is not as good as it ought to be because I've been listening to the wrong definition of life is good. And God has kind of helped me readjust my definition about what life really is good. You say, God has helped me in that way today. Can I see your hand? Yes. Yes. Choose life. Choose life. Father, as we close this service and let folks pray and respond to you, please move with thy spirit. In Christ's name, amen. She's going to play something for us. You can pray. You can use these altars. Respond to God and talk to him after he's talked with you. Just take a minute and pray. Personal Savior, please keep me on. If there's never been a time in your life where you've bowed your head and received Christ as your personal Savior, that's where we start. You say, Pastor, what would I do? You pray something like this in your heart. Lord Jesus, I believe you are God's Son. I believe you went to the cross, died for my sin, paid the price, rose the third day. I believe in you. Please come into my heart and save my soul. Father, I pray you'd help us to receive you and to be saved, but Lord, to embrace the commandments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to receive thy word as all authoritative, all right, all pure. God, we're so glad there is no iniquity in anything you ever tell us to do. We're so glad that your word doesn't have any viruses and pathogens and infections. And Lord, there's nothing harmful about it. It's good. It's your word is just good and it's right and it's pure. Help us to see the clear choice of following thy word as it's attached so closely to the promises. Help us to choose to obey thy word and help us to encourage others to choose Christ, to choose the church, to choose thy word. Help us to be ambassadors for thee this week, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, my friends. You are dismissed. Have a good day.